So, in view of this vast difference between Tibet on the one hand and India on the other hand, between the Indian mentality on the one hand, the Tibetan mentality on the other, bearing in mind also the fact that Buddhism, especially after 1,500 years in India, did bear many very typical Indian characteristics, one might have thought, well, whatever religion the Tibetans were going to adopt, Buddhism, Indian Buddhism, would have been the last religion that they adopted. But the strange, in fact, the wonderful fact is that, yes, they did adopt Buddhism. They did adopt Indian Buddhism. But it took them a very long time. We don't always realize this. We don't always appreciate this. It wasn't as though someone went from India one day to Tibet and preached Buddhism and then in a few years they were all Buddhist. It wasn't like that at all. It took a very long time indeed. And there was very considerable resistance on the part of the Tibetan people, especially of the Tibetan nobles, to the introduction of Buddhism. But eventually, at long last, Buddhism was established as the religion of Tibet, of the land of snows. So perhaps for us in this country there's some comfort to be derived from this fact. We think that things are moving pretty slowly. Buddhism has been known in this country only about 100 years, a century, and we don't seem to have got very far with it yet, but never mind. In the case of Tibet, it took them very, very much longer. In fact, we may say that the introduction, the mere introduction of Buddhism into Tibet took approximately 500 years. 500 years, which is quite a long time, much longer than it took, say, to introduce Christianity into these islands. 500 years from the 7th to the 11th century AD. This was the period of the introduction of Buddhism into Tibet. And this was a period of constant political change, not to say political upheaval, usually connected with the introduction of Buddhism itself. Now, obviously, in dealing with this period, in describing how Buddhism came to Tibet, I must condense a very great deal. 500 years. That means if I devote, if I've got left about 50 minutes, it means I can devote about 10 minutes to every century that the process took. So obviously one has time only for the most salient features of the subject. Now, we find that throughout Asia, throughout the whole of the East, Buddhism spread, wherever it did spread, under the patronage of powerful kings. In the East, the predominant form of government was, of course, absolute monarchy. So you had to get, first of all, the ear of the king. If you got that, then you could succeed. Otherwise, not. So we find that all over Asia, Buddhism spread when it was able to secure the patronage, in one way or another, of these powerful, very often these all-powerful rulers. This is true of India, where Buddhism was given a great impetus by the great Emperor Ashoka, true of China, true of Japan, and so on, and it's also, of course, true of Tibet. So that we may say that the introduction of Buddhism into Tibet was associated with the names of three Dharma Rajas, as they are technically called, or religious kings, who were kings of the whole of Tibet, as well as with the Buddhist monks and scholars, both Indian and Tibetan, with whom these religious kings collaborated. The introduction of Buddhism into Tibet is also associated with the name of one of the kings of Western Tibet after the split up of the country into a number of independent states. Now, these religious kings were, first, Songtsang Gampo in the 7th century, Trisong Detsen in the 8th century, and Rapa Chen in the 9th century. And then the king of Western Tibet, who was also associated with the introduction of Buddhism, was Yeshe U in the 11th century. Now, if we know about these four religious kings or Dharmarajas, and if we know, if we understand what they did for Buddhism, for the introduction of Buddhism, then we shall have a good idea of how Buddhism came to Tibet.